It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. This segment presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan. Use the savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Talking about what would be more likely for the Eagles this year, 13-4 or 8-9. Aaron in Norristown, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys. Hey, well, I want to talk about the Eagles. Almost slipped up there, Spike. Sorry about that.
No, good, brother.
So I really am optimistic about the Eagles. I would be leaning more towards the 13. I think what people get caught in the minutiae and the weeds of different stuff, but, you know, you have an offensive coordinator. You give this offense to any capable offensive coordinator. You add a Saquon Barkley. You add a backup running back like Will Shipley, who, by the way, is going to be the second-string running back, in my opinion, come opening day. You take that offense, and you don't really have to worry about being a new coordinator. That's going to be a turbocharged offense. The Eagles' best defense in their Super Bowl year was the first and second quarter of the offense. The reason they had over 70 sacks, and as somebody played defense as well, if you become a much better defense when your team is up 21-7 in the second quarter. That's the only way you get to 70 sacks. And I think the defense is also going to be much better, not only because of the coordinator they got, but the coordinator isn't coming into an established group of guys. Like 70% of that defense will be new players, new personnel. It's not like they're hanging on to a prior defense coordinator. He's molding it. And I just think the team is like built as well as any team is built in the NFC.
Well, first of all, I don't think Will Shipley's going to be the backup running back. I have some questions about, I think Will Shipley looked good when everyone is playing full speed. I'm curious to see how he pops, because he's not the fastest guy out there. And I just like, I know nobody here loves Gainwell, but Gainwell pops a little bit when he runs, and Shipley doesn't.
I disagree, Spike. I mean, like, that third and two play, when he hits the pile, there's 0 yards after contact. I mean, you watch Shipley from high school. He's a number two rated running back coming out of high school, going to college, going to Clemson. The way he's tough, he kind of reminds me of an old school fullback, but with enough speed. I mean, I think he ran a 4.45 or 4.4. Well, he ran a 4.46 or 4. Actually, he ran a 4.40 in the combine. His speed, and he runs. It's not only speed. I'd like to ask you: is speed more important, or the intricacy in which you know the defense and you run your pattern to a T?
Well, listen, speed is important, but obviously knowing the nuances of the offense, understanding, and one thing about a running back, you know, sometimes you can't be too quick to the hole, so having patience, right, letting blocks develop, and then using your speed. I think,
that's
Aaron,
exactly what he does over Gainwell.
Yeah, Aaron, I could envision this the second half of the season. I don't know if coming out the gate they go that route. Only because this is Kenny's fourth year in this offense, I believe. Third or fourth year in this. Not in this offense. With the team. With third or fourth year with the team. So I think he gets the benefit of the doubt coming out. But it's not as if Shipley is going to completely go missing. Like, I think they'll find a way to sort of use him. Problem is, it's not enough footballs to go around to just be divvying up snaps for everybody. It just isn't. So this is a tough lineup to crack if you're a young player.
Yeah, and to be clear, I think Shipley will be good. We saw moments in preseason games. Now, apparently in practice, he wasn't quite as, and to your point about knowing where he should be, what he should be, and pass blocking not quite as good in practice as he was. He had a couple of good blocks in the preseason games. But that aside, everyone keeps talking about the offense. I know the offense will be good. Mm-hmm. My bigger questions are defense, and I just want to see the offense in real life before I'm ready to say they're going to be one of the best teams in the NFL. I want to see it happen. I want to see Jalen be able to adjust to a guy who is excellent at pre-snap reads and who is handling the blitz well, because they're going to blitz the hell out of him in Brazil. Yep. There's no way they're not going to try that. So look, I suppose they could be 13-4. If you ask me what is more likely is they have a defense that isn't good enough and an offense that is adjusting to a new scheme. And what would be more likely to me is 8-9. I don't think 13-4 is impossible. I just don't think it's all that likely. You want to be go ahead.
If I may just quickly add to that, I think neither one of them are likely, if you want to be honest. But I think 13-4 is more likely. That's, I'd like to say that.
So, sure. Yeah.
And I went quickly on Sirianni. I would like to be in the thing. Sirianni's thing wasn't his problem with the refs. Sirianni's thing was the way he reacted to getting a first down. I mean, I go to the games. I sit 9 rows behind the bench. I've never seen a quarterback grab a coach's arm asking him to stop because he celebrates on like first down. And when you're in the game, the players on the team, you know, they're going to see your coach acting like they're going to take it on you. So he's a little tired of that act. He comes from Saban, who taught you how to respect the game, not act like a fool. But that's I hope he learns about it's not about yelling at the refs. It's about like celebrating first downs like he won the Super Bowl.
No, but the part the part about yelling at the refs, Aaron, is to Coach Sirianni's point, is that what that really says is you're shifting accountability and responsibility for what happened on that play. You're trying to blame the refs for why something didn't happen, why you didn't pick up a first down, when he's trying to teach his players about being accountable. So what he was really saying is, I need to be accountable and stop reacting to everything referees do because it's not a good look. I mean, when nobody wants to see a coach constantly complaining to the officials, just like we don't want to see players constantly complaining to the officials.
Right. Just like you don't hear the TV announcers complaining about balls and strikes. I agree with you.
Well, they need to get that box out of the middle of the damn screen if they don't want us to complain.
Honestly, that's a whole different thing. The box has got to be off of there. The box has got
to
be off of there.
If you don't want me to complain, get that box off of there again.
The box is like, if I was an umpire, I would go to my union and go, what are you guys doing? You're putting a thing on the screen that is allowing people to sort of, yeah, of course I can sit at home.
Yeah, and call balls and strikes easily after I see where the ball landed.
Look, the dot is 2 millimeters out, and I'll go, we got screwed again! You know, so, Aaron, you want to be in the fantasy league? Tell us why you'd be a good addition.
Well, I've been doing fantasy football since before the computers were really a thing. We used to have to wait until the Monday morning to get the USA Today as the Bible. I play fantasy football for the enjoyment of it, for the spirit of it. I really like it, and I'm also one of these people who's just as interested if I'm 0-10 or if I'm 10-0. I hate these people who are like 2-8, and all of a sudden, they just say, I don't care. I mean, it's enjoyable to win, but it's enjoyable to get along with people and have a good camaraderie. And I really just enjoy it. And I think you need more of that in a good fantasy football league instead of people who are like, not that way.
You sound like a stand-up culture guy, Aaron. I appreciate it.
I like that.
All right, brother.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing wrong with that at all.
That's a good thing, Aaron. That's a good thing.
All right. You're on the list, Aaron. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously we talk a lot about Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. You've talked about him, you know, being in MVP conversation. Mm-hmm. Jack said it earlier. Mm-hmm. Do you think he needs to play at an elite level for the Eagles to be successful this year? Or can he be more game manager-like and have them succeed that way?
So I hear that question and I say, okay, I guess to each his own in determining what's success to you this year.
Sure.
To me, anything less than being in that NFC Championship game is a failure.
Okay.
That's the way I view it. That means this team didn't meet its expectation. You get to the conference title game, we'll see where it's played at. But I got a lot of respect for Detroit, you know, San Francisco, Green Bay. Like, those are teams I'm not going to just sit here and say the Eagles should just go beat any one of those teams no matter what. So, based on that premise, yes, he has to play at an elite level.
Really?
He can't be a game manager. He can't be a game manager. I just don't see it. Now, I'm not saying he needs to go out and play hero ball or anything of that nature. When I'm talking about elite level, obviously taking care of the football, and when plays need to be made late in the game, big throws need to be made, you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to use your legs at times this year, right? You get this much talent surrounding you. There's no way that you, as the chief operator here, shouldn't shine above everyone. And that's just the way I look at it. And I feel confident in saying I believe he can do that. See, when I say he has to play at an elite level, I don't say that with trepidation. I don't say that with nervousness. I say that with expectation. He's healthy. He has a great system around him. He has great players around him. Let's go get it done. Now, it's a time when you want to be put in this class with these guys. We rip all these prognosticators and so-called experts when they don't rank Jalen at a certain level. Well, you know what? You want to be in that top five regularly. You want to be in that top 10 now. Because quite frankly, we know top five is that elite status, and we've always used that as a benchmark. But that was to keep other guys out and separate guys. As I look at it now, Spike, there's one guy who has separated himself from the pack. Everybody else, you got this. You the Dax, the Lamar Jacksons, the Joe Burrows, who else? Josh Allen, all you guys, Jalen Hurts. You want to be up there with number 15? Then you got to start doing this on an annual basis. You got to start doing this yearly. And number 15 doesn't have this type of talent around him on offense.
Certainly didn't last year.
Else it wouldn't be fair.
Right.
It would not be fair.
Well, he had that for a minute, and yeah, it was unstoppable.
It was unstoppable.
Right.
Right? So I'm just saying, he's getting it done with lesser talent on the offensive side of the ball. If we're going to view you as one of those guys in the top 10, and I believe Jalen is a top 10 quarterback, I do believe that. Now my elite status says there's about 7 or 8 quarterbacks that have to play at that level. You're one of them. You're one of them. If we want to be in the championship game or in New Orleans, yeah, he's going to have to outplay. And you can't outplay Jordan Love and all these other guys by being a game manager. Your defense isn't good enough. Your defense isn't good enough. I'm going to need you to be at an elite level. And I think you can do it.
So I think the tough thing here is I think you can have great stats as a game manager.
Mm-hmm.
So I think his job, sort of based on the offense they've put around him, is more game manager-like than it is elite-like. I think they could win 13 games with him being efficient, not turning the ball over, those sorts of things. So I actually think I would prefer he play like a game manager than like what we would ever consider an elite quarterback. I think I think the question is, what do we define as elite versus game manager? Because I would make the argument that Brock Purdy last year was a game manager. I would. He was surrounded by talent. He did what he was supposed to do. Now, the difference comes when you get into the playoffs, and honestly, maybe this is an issue. Now, he lost to Purdy, and maybe it's an issue with, what's his name in Detroit?
Jared Goff.
Jared Goff. Like, if you're going to tell me that I have Jared Goff going against an elite quarterback, I'm always going to feel like I'm in. Like, he's never going to be at that level. He's a good player and a good quarterback. And
Jared
Goff,
you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
And you can win with him. But chances are, like, you're going to go up at some point against a quarterback who's better than him in the playoffs. I think he's good.
Are you?
Well, I think you could, yeah.
In the NFC?
Well, no, if you're going to win a Super Bowl.
Well, yeah, because you got to face that guy on the other side.
Or you're going to face somebody else on the other side. You're going to face a Burrow, or you're going to face, you know, maybe Lamar Jackson will get there or something.
To be fair?
Yeah.
I don't know what separates Joe Burrow and Jared Goff.
Nice moxie.
That's about it. One guy's cooler than the other one.
Yeah, there's some eye test stuff going on there, too.
Jared Goff throws a pretty damn good football, man. I'm one who's come around to Jared Goff. Yeah, I didn't. When we did the whole Wentz Goff debate all those years, I used to hate on Jared Goff all the time. But Jared Goff going to Detroit has opened my eyes. How many guys can go to Detroit, start over, and get Detroit to the NFC Championship game? They haven't won a playoff game since 1991.
Two separate teams. He's done it on two separate teams.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah.
So all I'm saying is, I think. Sometimes when we say elite, we think Patrick Mahomes, and that's everybody. He is really the only true guy that separates himself. Josh Allen is a turnover machine. Like, these guys have traits that they look good. Jared Goff was the number one overall pick.
Well, I think there's...
He threw for 4,500 yards, 30 touchdowns, 12 interceptions last year.
I think in the top 10...
If I were to give you those numbers,
right,
those are great
sure.
numbers, yeah.
I think when you look in the top 10, 12, whatever, there's really like... three tiers in there.
Okay.
There's Mahomes, and then there's two more.
Okay.
So I think second tier, I think Josh Allen's better than Jalen Hurts. But it would
okay,
be...
Okay, that's fine.
Yes.
That's fine, yeah.
I would say there is the Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, if he's there, tier. And then there's the Dak tier, which is... Dak probably can go sometimes in two, sometimes in three. The fact that
you're putting Dak over Jared Goff?
No, I'm saying depending on the year. Let's put playoffs aside. Depending on the year.
What is the Jared Goff's already been to a Super Bowl and an NFC Championship game with two different teams. What has Dak done?
Yeah. I don't know.
Jared Goff does the best year eye test.
It doesn't. Not in the way that Dak does.
I understand it. You see how that is, though?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I would have Jared Goff over Dak.
Would you?
Yeah.
For 1 year, you would take?
I think Jared Goff has had a better career than Dak Prescott as a quarterback.
That's fair. I think that Jalen could be in third tier top 10. I think he could be, we could look at the end of the year and look at the rankings, and he's the ninth best quarterback in the NFL, and they could be in the Super Bowl.
And that's fine.
I guess I go back to 22, where we were all at the end of the year going, he's a top three quarterback, he's going to be a top three quarterback, right. blah, blah,
blah. Yeah.
And we had an era with maybe a group of four or five elite quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. We had Rodgers and we had Brady, and then Mahomes was in there. Yep. And there was a group.
Well, you had the Roethlisbergers and all of that. Yep. Aaron Rodgers.
And now it just seems like maybe it's just because it's more of a throwing league and there's more players that have numbers and it's a little bit harder to tell.
There's more good quarterbacks.
Right.
Good quarterbacks.
And maybe there's fewer great quarterbacks.
Yes. So. Well, because see, what we have to do is we have to start defining greatness by what you've actually accomplished, right? Like you can put up numbers every year, but I can't necessarily say you're great if you're not going into playoffs and doing it.
We're finally getting to OG Wade's way of ranking the quarterback.
I mean, it's what we have to do because there's so many good young quarterbacks, and it's really, like you said, it's the beauty is in the eye of the beholder, so it's what you prefer from a particular player. But C.J. Stroud, Jordan Love, like these are good young quarterbacks that everybody would take in their top 10. I would take C.J. Stroud over Dak Prescott right now. Would you?
Easily.
Yeah.
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 He played 1 year.
Yeah.
I test.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I would also take Caleb Williams. I would take, you know, how long is the list?
So what it boils down to is
Caleb Williams, I'm not sure yet.
Jalen still is not passing the eye test for a lot of people. That's what it is.
I would love to see him.
That's what it is.
Yes.
And that's fair, but that's what it is.
Yes, and it's eye test as, there's like, it's funny. If we just break it down very simply to say, throwing and running, that's whatever. He is pretty good thrower, and he is a good runner, but he is not elite at either of those things,
right.
I don't think, when I'm watching. His athleticism is what it is. It's never going to get better than it is. It's not like he's going to wake up tomorrow and be Lamar Jackson. So the running part is what it is. Mm-hmm. If he can become a next level thrower, at least to what I'm seeing, and maybe Kellen Moore, and maybe this puts him in a place where he can do it. Maybe the reason he doesn't throw across the middle is because it hasn't been schemed in a way for him to throw across the middle. Maybe there's nobody, whatever. But that's where I need to see him be different for me to say, okay, elite level quarterback.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Does the winning make him elite? Because, see, let me throw it back at you. Brady, about the first 5 to 7 years of his career, didn't wow people with his measurables, his throwing. Now, that's why Peyton was always ahead of him.
Sure.
And Brady was the consummate winner. He was the game manager. He was the team guy. You know, they won with defense in a running game. But he was always there at the end of the year. And when he needed to throw, he was clutch. He didn't beat you. And he beat Peyton Manning. So I ask that to say, if sometimes a quarterback may not wow you, like Brett Favre was the wow guy, Kurt Warner, those guys.
Roethlisberger didn't always wow you.
Exactly, right. Roethlisberger. But Big Ben won 2 Super Bowls.
So what I would say is he's got to win more than he's won. I would say yes. But I go back to the Super Bowl year, and look, he got to the Super Bowl. It counts. I'm not saying it didn't count.
Yeah.
But he beat the Giants, and then
that whole year they played a last place schedule.
Well, and in the playoffs, he beat the Giants, who stunk,
They stunk.
And the 49ers were on the third quarterback of the
year.
So if you're going to get there from winning, which I think you can do, we just need more winning.
Yeah, you got to do more winning.
More winning.
Yeah. And that's where the change with Brock Purdy. Like, people will stop calling him a game man. Like, because at some point, even if he's a gamer, he's still a winning quarterback. And that's what you want, ultimately.
Yeah, if he wins 12 or 13 games this year and they win another playoff game, all of a sudden, you're like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. 215-592-9494. James in Philly, you're on WIP. Closer to 13 or 9, or 8, rather.
Closer to 13. I think that the 4 losses we're going to have are going to be what? The Ravens, Rams, Dallas, and Michigan and Cincinnati. And I think that it's going to come down to the defense faltering. I think two losses are going to be about 3 points or less, and two may be 6 points or less.
Well, yeah, I mean, so you – it's not like just that you think 13-4 is the ceiling. You think you have them at 13-4?
I had them originally at 13-4, yeah.
Wow. With the defense the way it is?
With the defense the way it is. And I think that later on in the year, deep into December, they'll get stronger.
Well, that's when they have. Yeah, I mean, they should. I think they should be better. If things are going the way that they should be better at everything in the second half of the year than they are in the first half of the year. Because they will have more time with the offense. They'll have more time with the roles on defense will be, you know, will be worked out. Injuries aside, as long as they're not racked by injuries, I would hope they would be actually better at it. I don't know what the record will be in the second half, but I would hope they'll be a better football team in the second half of the year than they are in the first.
And you know what I found that's so funny? That why is we had to play cold weather teams at the end of the year?
Well, because the NFL is screwing us. They hate Philadelphia. Yeah. So you want to be in the fantasy league. Why do you deserve to be in the fantasy league?
I'm going to create a scenario.
Okay.
Last year, I was listening to the radio.
Uh-huh.
And this guy, he got on the radio saying that he wished he could come to Philadelphia. That he'd never been here. He wanted to go to the Eagles game. And that he don't care if he had to stand up and buy a standing room only ticket. So I felt that. You know, I felt that. And I don't give my tickets away for anything. So I told my friend, and she was like, "Oh, you wait till my brother find out." I said, "I don't give a damn blam blam. I'll pay for you." You know? So I met Justin.
His
great team. You know, he sent me a video of Owen, his reaction to everything. And it's like, to this day, it'll forever be stuck in the back of my mind. You know? And that's a great family. He's a great dude. You know, and I'm just happy, you know, that I helped bring him to Philly that way, you know.
So you gave Justin the tickets that ruined the season last
year. That's true.
Yeah. No.
Well?
No. He went to the Buffalo game, and they won.
Okay.
Yeah, but what happened after that?
Say he ain't got nothing to do about what happened after that.
All right. You are on the list, James. That's a good reason.
That's a good reason.
That is a good reason. I appreciate your call, man. That is a good reason. He hooked Justin up. He is the sole, but you got to ask the question, who's more responsible for the collapse, Justin or, was it James?
Justin James.
Hold on. Do we know if Justin made it to Atlanta yesterday?
Yeah, so he's been sending me updates all day. He's not going to be able to make it to Atlanta today.
Okay.
Oh, he was going to go today.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I thought it was for yesterday. Okay.
Well, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, listen. He's in hot water. We're trying to figure out, is he good for the city or bad for the city?
Yeah. Well, he's obviously a nice man, but is he a... You know, is he an anti-Philadelphia sleeper cell?
Exactly.
You know, is he a honeypot? You know, are they luring us with his charms only to ruin the Philadelphia sports teams?
You said honeypot. I thought glory hole.
No.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know.
I needed to say it, though. You should have dumped it just in case.
And Jerry Jones has said it multiple times.
Oh my God. That's what went to my head. I mean, when you said that, I was like, what?
Coming up next, Back to the Future.
A breakdown of that.
What if Marty went back in time, but she had not had him yet? No. Coming up next, I actually looked at the odds to win the title of all three Philadelphia sports teams. And what they are compared to each other may surprise you. So we will discuss that next and try to figure out if the odds makers are right or if there's a little money to be made there. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.